So we touched on dark matter, dark energy, what came before the Big Bang, what created the Big Bang. So some of the other parts of my theory of everything is an explanation for what causes quantum fields, why space-time can warp to the will of mass, why we have wave particle duality, and why we would predict a probabilistic wave function. Okay. If my assessment of the nature of space-time is accurate, there is a corollary. Once you accept an infinite universe, it has a correlation that is hard to deny, because a truly infinite universe has no largest or smallest measurement of time, no largest or smallest measurement of space. Therefore, these nested pockets of relative space-time, mass, energy, heat, radiation, pressurized, will continue inwards and outwards in an infinite succession. So we get what we call infinite regression. It's something that science has tried very, very hard to stay away from. However, if we embrace it, we begin to see how many mysteries of science are truly explained with classical relativistic physics as we know them. That being, if there was a subquantum realm, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of a trillion times smaller than an electron neutrino. Energy moving in waves, just like we see now, energy moving in waves manifests through quantum fields as the particles we're familiar with. That energy itself could be smaller mass and energy moving relative to us at the speed of light. When you take mass, tiny, tiny mass inside of the subatomic particles, and move it relative to us faster than the speed of light, it's going to, or at the speed of light, it's going to look like energy. Okay, it's not going to exceed the speed of light, because that's the fastest speed limit we have within our visible frame of reference, but it may look like energy if in fact we were moving relative to us at those speeds. If there was a subquantum realm of energy in moving in waves, or particles, subquantum particles moving, playing follow the leader, then we would predict there would be repulsions and attractions occurring at the subquantum realm. Therefore, the energy of the packets we can see at our scale factor, our quantized visualization of energy in motion, we would predict the path of those bodies to be probabilistic. We would expect there to be a probabilistic nature to, so in the last podcast, we briefly touched on the fact that one of the corollaries of my theory on a infinite number of separate nested pockets of relative pressurized space-time, mass, energy, heat, radiation, that one of the corollaries would be something called the subquantum realm. Right now, we have a theory, we'll call it quantum field theory slash quantum mechanics, and it is immensely accurate for something that has to deal with a probabilistic wave. The number of decimal places in the deviation, standard deviation across the outliers is smaller in quantum field theory than nearly any other branch of physics, chemistry, or biology. It may very well be the most precise understanding we may have of the physical realm. However, the fact that we can see and predict how a quantized, packetized structure to energy might behave, we still don't fully quite understand the mechanics behind it. Where a religious theist will tell you there is a invisible God that creates everything, your quantum physicist is going to say there are invisible quantum fields that create everything, without really delving into what it is those fields are. We accept that space-time can bend to the will of mass and energy without really defining how or why we would predict space-time should warp to the will of mass. So if we accept the likelihood that our ability to quantize energy and thus produce quantum mechanics as packetized distributions of energy, there is still an underlying flow and wave of energy relative to the physics we understand, relative to the scientific precision, the best scientific precision we have, of the best instrumentation available to us, and the extrapolation of all the data we collect from all the different instruments all combined, gives us a fairly good idea that we have successfully produced a model to replicate a packetized, digitalized nature, per se, of the universe. However, the mistake we made was calling it elementary. If instead of saying that a quantum of energy is an elementary packet of energy, the smallest possible, if instead we accept the likelihood that there is no smallest slice of time, there is no smallest slice of space, there is no smallest slice of energy, there is no smallest slice of mass, there is no smallest slice of heat, and there is no smallest slice of luminosity. There are relative values that fit within the laws of physics at our scale factor. However, if we have an infinite regression of smaller energy and smaller matter making up each larger component, something science has tried very, very hard to stay away from or stray from would be any acceptance of an infinitely regressing atomic substructure. But if we start with the premise of an infinite time and infinite space, then just imagine taking an electron neutrino and being able to zoom in so that electron neutrino is as large as the Milky Way galaxy, and being able to zoom into the size of our planet. You're not going to have just pure empty space. There's going to be something there. Don't know what it is. It's going to be some type of waves of energy. Relative to us at our scale factor, what we call waves of energy could very well be tiny mass. At our scale factor, it moves in waves because it's quantized. Okay? It becomes quantized because it's units of measurable energy that makes sense within the laws of physics as we understand them at our scale factor. By removing the fact that they are elementary, what would some of the predictions be? Let's see. Well, two predictions right out of the gate, okay? Right out of the gate without even having to think about it. If there was a subquantum realm, we would immediately perceive that Feynman diagrams would require virtual particles in order to work, and Feynman diagrams would require renormalization. The fact that we have both renormalization and virtual particles as part of Feynman diagrams in order to make them work is clear as day evidence for a subquantum realm. But let's go further, shall we? What else might we predict? Well, I would predict if you sucked every single piece of matter out of a vacuum that there will be culminations of aggregate sub-quantum quantum energy in constant fluctuation. There would be a measurable breakthrough from the subquantum realm into the quantum realm only if there was a subquantum realm. The fact we can measure vacuum energy, again, is further proof of a subquantum realm. What else would we predict if the photon was not the basic unit of energy? Well, we would expect within all of space-time, there would be mass energy. Thus, in order to have space-time bend to the will of mass, what else do we know is attracted to mass? Well, other mass. Gravity causes mass to attract to other mass. The fact that we can see space-time being attracted to mass, the only logical conclusion is there is mass and energy within space-time that we can't measure. Or right now, we can just barely measure the vacuum energy. But we don't really know the number or the size of the mass that is below the subquantum realm. I guesstimate, and this is a pure guesstimate, roughly a trillion times smaller than the electron neutrino. In numbers that make neutrinos pale. Right now, neutrinos are passing through you, through your body, hundreds of billions of times a second. Almost trillion times a second. That's how many neutrinos are passing through you. There could easily be, if there was a subquantum realm, a trillion times smaller than the electron neutrino, you could have quadrillions, tens of quadrillions of these passing through you and everybody else all the time. We would predict a probabilistic wave function because there would be both attractive and repulsive forces occurring below the factor we could see. That would cause the predicted path of particles to deviate from their predicted path. What we call tunneling, I believe, is a special case of superposition. Superposition is the ability for a particle to deviate from its normal path and show up somewhere where it would not be expected. There is a misunderstanding as it relates to superposition, that it means a particle is in both places at once or both states at once. It is one or the other. We just don't know until we measure it. We'll go into more detail on the subquantum realm and why we would predict there to be things like vacuum energy and virtual particles if there was a subquantum realm, and why we'd expect mass to bend to the will of space-time in our next podcast. Until then, live long and prosper. May the force be with you. 42.